going to talk about attitudes of Christians towards their faith. Tonight I will bring the lesson, and it will be entitled Elements of Worship. And then for the next several Wednesdays, we'll be talking about worshiping God. Dean will send out the invitation as Ted had indicated. And on the invitation for next Wednesday, there'll be a worksheet for us to consider and follow. And with that, we'll start our lesson this morning with the attitude of Christians toward their faith. Okay, so I'm going to start off with the introduction to our faith, what our faith is, a definition. And the second item I'm going to touch upon is the ways to develop a greater faith. Thirdly, we are going to use some examples of faith, of faithful men in the Bible that preceded us. And finally, we're going to be talking about the ways to strengthen your faith. And then I'm going to conclude by tying this lesson together. So, first section is our introduction to our faith. We see that the Hebrew writer in Hebrews, first of all, faith is the reliance and trust of God. And this is the center of Christianity. And the Hebrew writer in chapter 11 and verse 1 gives us a definition of what that faith is. In the New American Standard Bible, it reads, now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So we're hoping for something, and we are sure that this hope that we are seeking, we haven't seen it. We haven't witnessed it. To understand this a little better, I have another translation I'd like to share with you. It's the CEB. It says, faith makes us sure of what we hope for and gives us proof of what we cannot see. It was their faith that made our ancestors pleasing to God. So when we look at faith, we have a belief in something. And that belief for Christians is the reliance we have on God, the trust we have in God. And we believe the promises he made to our forefathers. And if we keep our faith, we will also be part of those promises. The Hebrew writer goes on to say in Hebrews 6, in the New American Standard Bible, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Now, the only way we could please God is through our faith. We must believe in him. And he's going to reward those who will seek him. Again, in the CEV, it reads, but without faith, no one can please God. That's pretty pointed right there. You have to have faith to please God. We must believe that God is real and that he rewards everyone who searches for him. God's going to reward the faith you have in him. He's going to reward the things that we seek after him. And how do we do that? It's not done by listening to preachers. It's not done, although that is a part of it. It's also done by us studying the Bible, listening to him, applying what he has to our lives so that we could be faithful in all that we do. In John chapter 20, verses 19 to 29, let me open that up here. We read, starting with verse 19, "So when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. And the disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you.' And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained.' But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples were saying to him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see his hands and the imprint of the nails and put my finger into the place of the nails and put my hands into his side, I will not believe.' And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. And Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst and said, 'Peace be with you.'" In verse 27, "Then he said to Thomas, 'Reach here with your finger and see my hands, and reach here your hand and put it in my side, into my side. And do not be unbelieving, but believing.' Thomas answered and said to him, 'My Lord and my God.' Jesus said to him, 'Because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who do not see and yet believe.'" So our faith is strong, because we haven't seen the Lord. We weren't one of the witnesses that seen him raised from the dead and appeared. But we believe because we read the Bible and understand it. And we believe in the Lord. In John chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. John says, "You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world." Jesus is our victor. He conquered death. He gave us a means to be with God. He gave us a path of salvation. "And greater is he who is in you," that's the Spirit of God. Jesus is Spirit, God's Spirit, and the Holy Spirit. Christians should believe and tell the world about, first of all, the incarnation of Jesus Christ. We read it in Paul's epistle to the Philippians, chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. So Jesus has a dual nature. He is God, and he came down from heaven and took the form of a man, a bondservant, just like you and I. And he humbled himself. He was obedient, even to the point of death on the cross. So Christians should tell the world about Jesus. Tell them that he gave up his throne, became a man so that he could be the ultimate sacrifice that we have for forgiveness of sins. Christians should also, we look at 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. So by accepting Jesus as your Lord, by following his plan of salvation, we as Christians will enjoy the promises that God had made to those in the past, to Abraham, and also to us. We should also be willing and able to talk about the righteousness and sinlessness of Jesus Christ. Well, how do we learn about that? Well, by looking at his life through the writers of the Gospels. We could see what Jesus was when he walked on this earth. We could see how he conducted himself. And as you read the epistles, we can understand what he expects from you and I as Christians. In Acts chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, Peter is given a sermon. He said, but you disowned the Holy One, the Holy and Righteous One, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. But put to death the Prince of Life, the one whom God raised from the dead, a fact to which we are witnesses. So Peter says about Jesus, he was the Holy One. He is the Righteous One. He is the Prince of Life. And those who wanted a murderer released put Jesus to death. And there were many witnesses to this. And Peter was one of them. Jesus was sinless. He resisted Satan. We look at the temptation of Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Then the devil took him into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus said to him, on the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, go, Satan, for it is written, you shall not worship the Lord your God. You shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister to him. So we should be telling people of the world about Jesus' righteousness, Jesus' sinlessness. And when we look at verse 4 of Matthew chapter 4, it says, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. How do we receive God's word that is true, the Bible? That is not only just reading it, but reflecting on it, praying for guidance to apply those things to your lives, contemplating on what was said in the scriptures and applying it to our lives. Christians should believe and tell the world about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 26 and verse 23, that the Christ was to suffer, and that by reason of his resurrection from the dead, he would be the first to proclaim light both to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. It's our job to do that, to share about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ Jesus to others. We believe that, and we should use that to share with others. Another fact that we should believe and tell the world about is the ascension and exaltation of Jesus Christ. And that the first chapter, verses 9 to 11. And after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. And they also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you watched him go into heaven. Jesus was here on earth for a short time. And he was involved with men's lives, especially the disciples. And when Jesus was taken up into heaven, when he ascended into heaven, it concluded his ministry on this earth, which left the apostles to continue. He was exalted, and he's in heaven and sits at the right hand of God. So we understand what our faith is. We understand we should be sharing those things about our faith with others because we believe in that. What are some of the ways to develop a greater faith? In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith, our belief in God, our belief in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. Well, we should develop our faith with our mind by believing. Many fail because they don't believe. They doubt God's word. They doubt God's will and his work. We have the evidence in the Bible, and we should cling on to that. None of us are going to totally understand everything in the Bible. We are all students of that, of God's word. And it's up to us to study, meditate, pray about those things we find in the Bible and apply it to our lives so that our faith will grow. We should constantly be thinking about God's goodness, his mercy, his grace, his power, and love, and this will increase our faith. A person who is born of God overcomes the world. The person who overcomes the world is the person who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And the victory that overcomes the world is our faith. And by studying and by applying the Bible to the things that we learn in the Bible will increase our faith. Which I see. Many lack faith because they just look at faults and failures of others. They see the bad and not the good in people. We use our faith by rightly when we keep our eyes on Jesus and keep seeing the good in others. Just look at Jesus. When he was here, there were many people who were sinners that approached him. He didn't fault them for their sins. He encouraged them to turn away from their sins and repent. We should follow his example. In John chapter 5 and verse 24, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Hear his word. And how do we hear God's word? We're not privileged to be back in the first century to listen to Jesus. All we have is God's word that was handed down via the apostles' writings and those men who was inspired to write in those writings that were preserved in the Bible. That's how we believe. That's how we increase our faith. Which ears hear? Many are weak in faith because they listen to worldly things. Things in the world like smut and slander. People are drawn in the world to that. We as Christians should use our faith properly by listening to what God has said, has to say. And we find that in the Bible. Even in the Old Testament, when we read about those people, and I can't even say half their names sometimes, most of the times, but yet a lot of them had faith in God. They had trust in God. They believed in God. And should be examples for you and I. In Psalms chapter 105 and verse 2, the psalmist said, sing to him, sing praises to him, speak of all his wonders. So would your boy speak? Share his wonders with others. Praise him, honor him, and give him glory. People talk about the weather, the news, sports, worldly news to their neighbors. What about Christians? We use our faith by talking about the goodness of God and by witnessing to the loss about Jesus Christ. And that was a big loss. We should be happy for that loss, because with that loss came salvation for you and I, provided we follow his guidelines. Would your hands work? Many fail to develop their faith because they do little for God. They live selfishly. It's all about me in this world. You know, it's important that we work for our physical well-being, but it's also necessary for our spiritual well-being. In James chapter 2 and verse 18, but some may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works and I will show you my faith by my works. We as Christians should show people our faith by what we do, how we are caring, how we provide comfort, how we pray for others, how we help those who are in need. Faith and works must complement each other. We shouldn't just be book smart. We should be able to put the things we learn through the Bible and make it part of our lives. Just as Jesus, when he was here, he showed people of that day and age what he was and what God expects. And it's by our faith and works, we can develop a greater love and appreciation for God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 and 7, Paul says, therefore, being always of good courage and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We temporarily live here on earth in our bodies, an earthly tent. We want to be with the Lord. So walk by faith. And always put your sights on the goal, and that is eternal life. And where your feet go is a way to greatly develop your faith. People are on the go all the time. They take vacations. They go places for pleasure, both far and near. We use our faith by going for God, attending church services, attending Bible classes, helping the needy, and winning souls to him. With your heart, love. We live in a materialistic age. Many love pleasures and possessions more than they love God and their neighbor. We reveal our faith by loving God and caring for others. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 2, John says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe his commandments. We have to have that love within our hearts. It increases our faith. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7, beloved, let us love one another. For the love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. So we have examples of faith in the Bible. And the best examples we could go to is in chapter 11 of the Hebrew letter. In verse 7 of Hebrew 11, we read, "By faith Noah, being warned by God about things not seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith." This account, and we're not going to go through it, is in Genesis chapter 6 through 9. We see that Noah was preaching at that time repentance, and he was preparing an ark. And he did it not by his specifications or his changes, but it's by God's design. He, his sons, their wives, and Noah's wife were saved. Again, we see in verse 17 of Hebrews chapter 11, "By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son." In Genesis chapter 22, we read this account. Abraham had faith and believed in God, and he was willing to offer up his son Isaac. But God saw what his faith was and rewarded him by coming up with a sacrifice for him. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29, we read, "By faith they passed through the Red Sea, as though they were passing through dry land, and the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned." Again, this account is in Exodus chapter 14, when the children of Israel were released from slavery from the Egyptians, their back was against the wall, and the Red Sea was between them and the Egyptians. And God took care of them by parting the Red Sea and allowing them to walk across dry land. And when the Egyptians tried it, they were killed. We have examples, many examples of faith. But if we go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, the Hebrew writer says, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." So consider your faith's superiority. Faith is a way to receive God. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, "For the grace you have been saved through faith, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. By God's grace, we have been saved." We should be very thankful for that. We also see faith is the way we receive from God. He supplies our needs as we accept his gifts in faith. In Mark chapter 11, verse 22 to 24, "And Jesus said to them, 'Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted to him. Therefore, I say to you, all things which you pray and ask believe that you have received them, and they will be granted to you. God gives us even the very air we breathe to sustain our lives. And these gifts come from God by God's grace. We should have faith in that. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. By digging into God's word, we put on the shield of faith with us. And Satan's going to do all in his power to try to draw us away from God. And it's up to you and I to combat that. Seeing what God wants you to do, digging into his word and applying that. Cherish your faith. First of all, it's a privilege. God has given you this faith. It cannot be purchased. It cannot be earned. And it's God's free gift to his children. It's our privilege because we belong to God. We are God's children. Because we believe in him. We have faith in his word. Faith also must be put to use. Faith without works is dead. James said that in chapter 2 and verse 7. So even so, faith, it has no works, is dead, being by itself. So this faith must be a working faith in our lives. It must exemplify Jesus as Lord. Because God had given him as a gift for you and I, as the means of having salvation. You should comprehend your faith's power. Faith releases the omnipotent power of God. Faith enables us to do all things through the strength Jesus gives us. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And how do we do that? How do we grasp the power of God? Well, look around you. Look at what he's created for you. Look at what he does in your life. And put him first. Faith enables us to live victoriously and effectively for God. In 1 John 5, verse 4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, faith. The faith we have is God's power. And if we understand it, believe it, put it to practice, one day we will have a home with him. Cultivate your faith. It has endless possibilities. It will face possibilities are inexhaustible. No task is too difficult. No problem is too great. No burden is too heavy for faith to handle. Faith enables us to defeat Satan. Faith unites the Christian with limitless possibilities. We as Christians not only have a physical family on this earth, we have a family, a spiritual family that we could depend on, that we could ask for help, that we can help, that will be there for us in our time of need. In Mark chapter 11, verse 22, And Jesus answered and said to him, have faith in God. We should always have faith in God. No matter what the world throws at us, no matter what the world does to us, we should believe in God. Just look at the first century Christians who were killed for their faith. That's an image. It's hard to understand because we don't suffer that. But yet they died for their faith. And their faith enabled us to look at what they did, and it strengthens our faith. It increases our faith. So we looked at this morning what faith is via Bible definition. We also seen how there are ways to develop our faith. We should share with others what we know and read about Jesus in the Bible. The incarnation of Jesus Christ, the righteousness and sinlessness of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and also the ascension and exaltation of Jesus Christ. We should also, with our minds, believe. Put your minds into use by studying, reading the Bible, and by making application of it to your lives. With your eyes see, with your ears hear, with your voice speak, share with others, with your hands work, with your feet go, and tell others about Jesus Christ, with your heart love. Not only loving the brethren, but also love those who don't have God in their lives. And model the examples of faithful people in the Bible to you, Christian life. Emulate Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, in your Christian life. Ways to strengthen our faith. Consider your faith's superiority. Cherish your faith. It's a privilege. God had given that to you. And comprehend your faith's power. It could move mountains. And finally, cultivate your faith. It has endless possibilities. If there's someone in the audience or someone on Zoom that needs our prayers and help or needs to be baptized, let us know and we can accommodate you. And if you are a child of God and your faith is weak and you need some assistance from your brothers and sisters, please let us know so that we can pray with you and for you.